As Lisa started to play the intro for that song, Tracy leaned over and she said, "Didn't we sing that one last week?" And I said, "Yes, and we're going to sing it today and next week and the week after that. We're going to have 4 weeks of Ten Commandments." Let us pray. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, your grace, your law, your word to us. Help us to worship you, to give you thanks, to come before you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week I preached on the introduction to the Ten Commandments. For this week and the next following 2 weeks, I will be looking at the Ten Commandments. And hopefully I'll share some insights for our reflection from last week. Then God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." We hear it again. It is all God, a God who rescued, a God who brought the people out of Egypt, a God who led them on their journey towards the promised land. And we have this same God, this God who rescues, who provides, who leads us today. It is all God. We don't deserve it. We have not earned it. We cannot buy it. It is a gift. To be honest, one of the things I've struggled with throughout my professional life is this thing we call law and gospel. Law and gospel. Now, I personally tend to lean on the gospel side of things because usually when I think about the law, I start thinking about how difficult it is for me to keep all of the Ten Commandments, to keep all of the expectations that God has on me. I know that I can't be perfect, but guess what? That's okay. None of us are perfect. God's love, grace, and forgiveness is there forever. So I tend to lean towards that grace side of things. But what about the law? Can we forget about the Ten Commandments? Can we ignore these rules that God has given? Of course not. Keeping the Ten Commandments is about loving God and loving neighbor. When we keep the Ten Commandments, we show our love for God and our love for our neighbors. There are Ten Commandments. Oh, wait, I was going to ask that as a question. How many commandments are there? 10. What? I hear some extra. There are 10. Now, the numbering, I bet, Gloria, if I asked you what the Ten Commandments were, you might have a slightly different list than what we Lutherans might have. Because some parts of the Christian church have this list of 10, and other parts of the Christian list have a different set of 10. We combine a couple of commandments into one about God, whereas this other part of the church combined the two covet ones that we've separated, combined them into the one commandment. They're all the same. We just have different math going on. It must be that new math. I learned something this past week. Now, I got to tell you, my Hebrew has never been good. And after 30, 35, 40 years, that Hebrew is like gone. But what I learned was the word dabar is the word that's translated the commandments. Dabar, D-A-B-A-R. But dabar can also be translated as promise or word. Hence the sermon titled, The Ten Words of God. It gives it a little bit different flavor to say the Ten Words of God as opposed to the Ten Commandments. God promises his love through these 10 words. The first three words that we're going to look at today are all about our relationship with God. It's that vertical sort of thing, God and us. And these three continue that emphasis upon God being the one who rescues, who saves, who leads, who provides back then and now today. Let's look at these first three words. And if I remember, I'm going to try, you know, all of my years of teaching young people, and I've got some faith formation students here today, and Sarah's here, some different fingerings to help remember. The first one, word number one, is you shall have no other gods. In other words, God is one. One God is our God. You shall have no other gods. Our God is a jealous God. God expects to be number one in our lives, not just on Sunday morning, but every day of the week, no matter where we go with flat Jesus, as we go wherever this summer, take Jesus with you, because God says, I am your God. I am number one. We live in a world with many gods. Some of them are easy to see. Some of them are not so easy to see. Some of our gods include money, popularity, sports, having lots of fancy things. And it's okay to have all of them until you begin to worship them more than you worship God, and they get in the way of you worshiping God. You shall have no other gods. Now, it's kind of fascinating. There's this punishment clause in the verses that Lee read. God will punish the children to the third and fourth generation of those that do not keep these commandments. That seems rather harsh. Really, God? You're going to punish my great-great-grandchildren because of what I do? But there's also a promise part to the words that Lee read. Let me look here. But showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation. Three or four generations. I don't have 1,000 fingers, but picture 1,000 generations that God wants to show and does show his love to those that keep the commandments and love God. Now, actually, how many years is 1,000 generations? 30,000 years, roughly, right? 30,000 years. That's almost, well, for me, that's infinity. Not quite infinity, but God... love is so much greater than God's punishment. Word number two. Now, I learned this one as you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That looks like a V, vain. The reading nowadays is you shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. There are right ways to use God's name, and there are wrong ways to use God's name. I was brought up in a home that swearing was a no-no. And so I remember as a little child thinking, you know, when I was really mad at whatever, you know, the neighbor or my parents, or I would say Jiminy Crickets, because that's what everybody else was saying when they were mad and you couldn't swear. Until I realized that Jiminy Crickets was kind of a weird variation of Jesus Christ. And I go, oh, this is not very good either. So the important thing is, what is in my heart? If there's anger in my heart, I need to be careful of the words that come out of my mouth. And I haven't said Jiminy Crickets in a long time, so. There are good ways to use God's name. When we worship and sing praise to God, when we confess our faith in God, when we go to God in prayer, all good times to use God's name. God's name is holy. Do not make wrongful use of God's name. Keep God's name holy. Number three, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The way the fingers work here at Salem, one finger's for worship, one's for Sunday school, one's for fellowship. Three parts to this Sunday morning. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. When God created the universe, God built in the necessity for rest. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. In our lives, we need to work. We need to play, and we need to rest. The Sabbath rest is a time to slow down, to give thanks to God, and to be at rest. When is your Sabbath rest? All right, first commandment, one, you shall have no other gods. Two, do not use God's name in vain, or I got to look back. You shall not make wrongful use of God's name. It will take me a lifetime to remember that new wording, but number three, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And all God's children say, amen. Amen.